Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 20.
Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California, where it is December and still at least 75 degrees outside.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we have no snow.
I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair. No snow either, but that snowblower is getting warmed up.
Okay, well, it's great to have us all together again. This is an amazing episode because although it's not our one-year anniversary, it is the end of a year, and we're just going to do a holiday edition of fun. So, but let's talk about what's happening in our studios. What's exciting with everyone?
Well, I'm desperately trying to finish up two long-term template projects that started over 6 months ago. I think I've complained about this before, but it's enough. I just want to put them to bed. So that's what I'm trying to finish up by the end of December.
I so agree. Empathize. There's the word.
Empathize.
I
empathize.
Well, I'm trying to finish them up by the end of this December, but then bill January 1st, right?
Oh, okay. Well, we have a template project that is probably our longest ever, and that's saying a lot. I think we're hitting the 18-month mark right now, and it's a very large project. What it is, we actually delivered the template. It's off to another developer. We're building a custom, it is being spec'd with a custom toolbar. It is a phenomenal, the whole project is huge. We just found a few little things in the template that aren't in the one that's being delivered in the toolbar per client request. So it's like the template, we're actually designing slides, but we can't get away from the template. So Nolan, I so empathize. I just want it to be done. Everybody to say approved.
You can always find something more, right?
What's happening with you, Sandy?
Well, I just finished up, by time this podcast airs, I will have finished up a couple of conferences, actually three in 1 week.
Wow.
Each mini conference is 1 day each. They're all for the same company. And then I also just completed 6 PowerPoint templates for Ameriprise Financial. And those were actually quite fun. It lasted 3 or 4 months, the project did, but it went really, really well.
They all use like a core assets, you know, color scheme and logos and whatnot, and just kind
yes.
of divisional or how
variations of it, mm-hmm. for, you know, using the 4-3 ratio, the 16-9 ratio,
oh, okay.
some photos, some, it's funny because they'll have me, not funny, it's interesting. I always, when I create my templates, I make sure that they print well in grayscale. That's one of the last things I do for the template. But for Ameriprise, I actually create a grayscale version of it, so no one has to worry about how it prints.
Oh, I so wish you wouldn't have said grayscale. You remember how I said that template kept coming back to life?
Yes.
One of them was we actually got it all approved. We sent it out. A master layout got removed, and then it got added back in. Mm. When we added it back in, for whatever reason, the grayscale printing was not preset, and everybody's like, what's wrong with it? So that was one of the updates to this template that
sure.
won't stop coming back. We had actually designed it, then it went away, and then
So I thought of something this year on grayscale printing, which is, for me, with a template project, it's a value add, and it's not called grayscale printing. It's called environmentally friendly printing.
Oh, for black and white?
Oh, there you go.
Well, for black and white, but also to if you have a dark background or anything
sure.
to take those out. So it's an additional menu item. If they want to pay for that, then they can, right? Because we're supposed to be talking about business, right?
Right.
So it's an extra thing because it does take extra time. So
right.
it's something else.
That's exactly what this one was. There is a very dark color title slide, and we created an alternate, basically a white background version of it with gray elements instead of their full color elements, so it would work for
yeah.
their black and white printers. And for some reason that got removed and it got put, so I guess we do that, but we actually just charge because it's an additional layout. It's
right.
I like naming it something. I'm making a note. I actually like the idea.
It was a completely different template. I mean, it was grayscale template.
Wow.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is weird. We just did a dark template, a dark mm-hmm. version, which they wanted. I don't know why, but that was a different template. Interesting.
But to your point, so this is grayscale. So I included the shading when we had solid printed mm-hmm. backgrounds and all that. But for black and white, that would be more environmentally friendly if we use mm-hmm. just the black and white settings. So that's something to consider.
Yeah. To print.
What's happening with me? Well, I can officially say we made it through the fourth quarter project frenzy where, you know, I've been on the road for like six of the last 8 weeks. So I've been home for two now. Mm. Pretty amazing projects during that time. And we had the presentation summit and the MVP summit. There was just so much happening in this quarter. It was great. We just finished this Rush project, which I actually think was really fun. So it was for a pitch, which I know we've talked about before. It's a storyboard and it was a presentation. It was presenting the proposed meeting opening segment. So it's a presentation about what could be presented. It was fun. It was totally animated. And because it was a Rush project, it was a weekend request Rush project. There was a lot of things that came in, you know, as far as billing and can we do it and, you know, manipulating. But we did the entire animation is 95% morph. And they're all like, this is phenomenal.
That's great.
So it was awesome. And it was nice because they could actually edit it too to make any of their last minute changes. So... do we have any news we could talk about?
We got a little news, some small things coming out in PowerPoint on the PC. You can now copy and paste sections. So
this is cool.
That's
this
really is cool. Great.
So you can just right click on a section and copy paste it somewhere else, which is nice. And I think they're slowly adding more and more features to mm-hmm. sections, which is great. And I'm still baffled every time I train. I always mention sections and I always ask for a raise of hands who knows and uses them. And it's usually about 5% of the room. People just don't know it exists.
I'm getting a bigger uptick on people that I'm getting an uptick on slides that come to us with sections in them. I'm seeing mm-hmm. a progression of use. Which is good.
That's because they're attending my trainings, Troy.
Yeah, yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right. That's right. And you know what? I use sections for templates. So when I design a template, I will divide. Here are title slides, section slides, closing slides. Here are content
now,
slides. And I use sections.
That is something I learned at the presentation summit this year. Now, those aren't technically sections. Those are just slide dividers.
I know what you're right. No. I create the section, but I know what you're talking about. You were talking about
something else.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Because I don't know. I apparently didn't attend that session.
In the master itself,
yes.
You cannot section that off. You can do multiple masters, but you can't section that off. But what you can do, which is a great tip I picked up, you can just put a layout that just says, you know, chart layouts or, you know, handout layouts or, you know, whatever, photo layouts, we do them just as a big black slide. And so they can see that. It helps section it off for them.
I have to start doing that. I think that was a great recommendation. I think Echo demonstrated
that. Oh, I thought
that.
You did. I thought I forgot who taught me that.
I can't remember who, or did you do it? Maybe it was you. I can't remember. It was a blur. It was a busy October, wasn't it?
That's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. I have a huge ask list of Microsoft on the whole master slide.
We don't have time for that today.
Yeah, no. So copy paste sections is really cool. So you can actually now copy a section. You can say, you know, right click, you say copy it and you move it, or you can actually drag it across too. Although it like drops to the first place where your cursor is in the secondary presentation. You know, I work on two monitors. So if you have one on each monitor, it doesn't work the way I'd really like it to, but the fact that it keeps the section and all the slides in it is, I think,
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I think it's I know that was one of the things we talked about with Microsoft for a while. I think it's a cool implementation. What else is new?
Well, I want to kind of give an update, and this is open for discussion. But yesterday, remember last meeting, we talked about the announcement that SVG is being supported in PowerPoint.
Yes.
And I'm just reminding people that are listening that if you subscribe to Microsoft Insider, you have this capability. It came out on Fast Insider. I don't know if it's on regular Insider.
It's on regular. I think it's on all builds of subscription now.
Interesting, because my client, I'm having trouble with some what would be considered
Windows.
Yes.
Windows. Oh, good point. So I am running into some issues when it's going over to the Mac with quality, image quality.
What happened? The rendering, it renders it at a lower.
Yes, it does. And not a, what is weird is it's inconsistent. I was in a hurry, so I was downloading a bunch of icons from the Noun Project. Mm-hmm. And one of the 10, 15 icons I used rendered horribly. And I cannot.
Now, yeah. That, I have no idea what's going on, but I do know that SVG can be, when you're saving out an SVG from like Illustrator, can be saved in, they're like a dozen different options. And I don't understand all of them. So okay. I wonder if that hasn't to do with anything.
I bet it does.
I have a little tutorial coming up about what options we have found work optimally.
Great. Oh, thank you.
Because there's like the embed versus the linked. Obviously, you want embedded, but there's a couple other, I can't even think of them right now.
Yeah, there's when you're a lot Illustrator, of different there's, check boxes and things, yeah. And I don't understand them all.
Exactly. When they'd send it back to me, if they didn't take a screenshot, they'd send back the presentation to me. I thought maybe something had happened in the transmission. It looked great on my computer. It was only on theirs. Good news is the production folks are using the most update. They're on the Insider Fast Track, so yay. We'll be fine at the show.
Well, there's our little bit of news for the day.
Yes.
On to the topic. It's the holiday season. What does everybody do for the holidays?
We're going to be splitting our time between families for Christmas and Hanukkah out here, as usual. But then we're going to take a few days down around New Year's to go to Key West. We're usually around for New Year's here, and we never seem to have any plans exciting enough. So we're going to be down in Key West, which is
looking
forward to.
That sounds awesome. Great.
Quite a party down there.
Oh, I bet. And
New
it's
Year's
beautiful.
In shorts.
Yes.
That'll be great. For my presentation business, I have created animated, self-running PowerPoint presentations with music. I don't know, for 10 years maybe. And what I do is I make these customizable. So anyone who wants to pick them up and put their own logo in there, put their own name in it, can do that. What's funny is I've been doing this since using PowerPoint 2003. So I'm sure under the hood, some of these are in pretty rough shape. But I'm making them available again. This will be the first year. I am not creating a new one. Oh. But I'm making all the years versions available.
Oh, a best of.
A best of, exactly. So I've got that link in the show notes.
That'd be awesome. I'm sure I will actually look at those because I've obviously received them, but it's always cool to look back.
Good. Well, from a personal standpoint, this year we're going to have 20 family members at our home for Christmas Day. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be missing our daughter, Lauren, as she celebrates Christmas in Japan.
Is this some... Is this your first Christmas? No, you've been out there longer than a year, right? At your new place?
This will be your second Christmas here.
Second Christmas. Okay. Very, very awesome. On the business side, we send out a holiday card, a traditional in-the-mail holiday card. We design our own and get it printed and stuff, and we're doing kind of a fun little insert into it. I won't give that away, so any client that gets it, or maybe people listening that I'm co-hosting with might get one. But it's a fun little thing we decided to do this year. But we also create a holiday-themed PowerPoint animation. And basically every design team member makes their own 45-second to 90-second PowerPoint animation. We stitch them all together, put a music bed behind it. We post it online. It's in our holiday card. It gives the URL. I'll put the URL out on the show notes so everybody else can see them. It's creativity at its best because we give the design team – I don't know, about 20 hours each, and just say, hey, make something that's just over-the-top, cool, animation, holiday-themed. Some people sync it to music. Other ones just make an animation. We let the music. They're really fun. They're really exciting.
It's really nice. I do a holiday card as well each year, although every year I say I'm not going to and I don't have any ideas. And that's where I am right now, thinking that I might break like a 20-year streak of not doing it.
20 so years.
I can't promise anything, but we'll see.
Just send a tweet. It'll be the same.
Sure. Send a tweet? Is that where we've come to?
Oh, no.
No, not for me. So on the personal side, I will say, the business side, everything's good and the office is great because nobody's traveling and everybody's actually doing stuff. But we live on one of those Christmas lights and decoration neighborhood streets. So we go all out on the lights every year, and they're fun, and it's something we really look forward to. So the outdoor decorations, they're actually almost done. I kind of ran out of steam and kind of come up with some other things, but we have our own holiday wonderland inside, and my wife Lori does that, and it was like 2 to 3 days of just mass amounts of redecorating and moving furniture and getting things set, and it's awesome.
So, now, Troy, are your solar panels powering all those? All that?
You know what's really funny? We switched about, I don't know, I'm going to say 6 years ago, because our electrical bills were costly. literally, my mother's place, our electrical bill for December and January, those 2 months would equal her entire year's electrical bills. They were pretty out of control. So I said, 1 year, I just said, okay, we're donating every single Christmas light we have. And I gave my wife, we came up with a budget and we just said, here's, $1,000, go buy all LEDs while they're on sale. Next year, we're going to do this because it doesn't make sense to pay this amount of money. So our electric bill dropped. Well, now we have solar electricity and everything's prepaid for. We can run the neighborhood on the amount of panels we had put up. So it does. Yeah. So we don't pay an electric bill. So now I don't really care what happens. So like the interior lights, we used to have them go on and off, on at 4 o'clock, off at night. They're just on all day long. That's it. They're
Oh my goodness. So how long does it take you to do your outdoor?
What's really funny is what happened is right after Thanksgiving, the entire neighborhood goes to it. And it's really, all the neighborhood guys are out and we're doing our thing. I was unavailable Friday because Thanksgiving was on a Thursday. Is that right? Whatever day it was, I was not available the following day. That was the Black Friday. That's right, because you go shopping. I was doing other things on that day. And then the Saturday was beautiful weather here in Southern California. I mean, it was like 80, maybe more, and sunny and blue. And I had a huge project I had to work on. So I was busy kind of getting this done, figuring, okay, all day Sunday, we'll go to church service and I'll come home and I'll get to it. It poured rain all day Sunday and Monday in Southern California. So I kind of got off my schedule. So it normally takes 2 days to do all the outdoor lights, the front yard, and we do the backyard to a degree as well, because we host a number of parties. This year, I've gotten most of the front stuff up, so it's in process. But it's normally a 2 to 3 day process, and it stays up for about a month and a half, and it's awesome.
Nice. So let's talk about some presentation stuff. I'm going to ask you guys, do you have any 2017 predictions? Just throwing this at you, but I'll start with one.
Okay, go ahead.
So my prediction is, I think in this year, we are going to see a lot more misleading slides and charts specifically in the world.
You are
in
funny.
The world of presentation. I think fake news is all
happening now.
We've always seen it. We've always seen manipulated Y axes and things like that. But like the Washington Post had a great sort of explainer debunking of a chart that went around a couple days ago in an article that supposedly explained that millennials were less interested in democracy, and they basically just redid the chart using the data, doing the chart the correct way, and it tells a completely different story.
Oh my
goodness. Yeah. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that and just people accepting it. I saw a chart, so it must be correct.
I thought you were being funny, but you're serious.
No, I'm quite serious.
Okay. Okay, I get it.
I think I'll go on that. Hold on. I think what's going to happen is I think that's been going on forever, because when we get data from companies, or when I did training programs, it's not a huge focus right now. I'd always say, we can make the data say, what's your story? Because we can make the data support it, depending on how you slice it. And I think would you say, Nolan, that what's happening now is, it's more of a global, even more of a global information age where people can identify what's fakeish. So maybe it's been going on, but now it's going to be exposed more. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I don't think. Oh, it'll be exposed the way it always is. But I just think with fake, textual news, it won't be believed. It won't, it won't matter that it debunks it. Nobody cares now about the Washington Post article. They're just looking at this, the first chart.
Yes.
And basically, so we've always seen it in business, and you're right. You can always make charts lie. But I think it's going to, in mainstream culture, we're going to see it more. People are going to be sharing charts more. People are going to be using those to say, oh, no, not just I read a news article, but I saw a chart that says X, Y, and Z.
And that's the truth.
Yeah. And again, just as people only read headlines now, people don't want to read a whole article. They just want to look at the chart. And if the chart explains the whole article, misleadingly, that's what people will take away.
You heard it here first. There's the prediction. I'm going to predict that 2017 will be the year everybody marks as the entry point of 3D into presentations and 3D actual formats, file formats being integrated in, because we've seen what Microsoft is rolling out. And I think it's going to be adopted very quickly, probably closer to the end of 2017. But I think it's going to be the start of a whole new mentality for presentations, or the higher end visual presentations.
Okay. And I will add to that. I think icons have, they've had a good run, and I think they will continue. What I like about them, of course, is that they're universal and everyone can understand them, and you don't offend anybody usually culturally and that sort of thing. But I see them starting to fade. I think the full bleed imagery on our slides will probably remain strong.
So just as Microsoft introduces icons, you think they're going away?
Well, you know what? That's probably, I hate to say this, but that might be the death of it. I mean,
every single person can use it. It becomes saturated. I can see that.
Yep. They're going to really have to keep those updated. I mean, seriously, they should be looking at updating these monthly.
I'm going to tag on to our last episode with a prediction, Nolan, since I brought it up, and it's going to tag on charts. I think that the concept of data viz and focus, or creating a central message out of a chart or numerical data, is going to become better across the board. Part of it is just end user understanding of what storytelling can be. The second one is I really think there's going to be a lot of tools rolled out between Excel and PowerPoint and third-party add-ins that will help extrapolate the data to a story. And some of it might be like we were talking about with the maps, where it's online assisted. You know, the chart will actually go online, look for additional information out there, and give you a proposed message and way to put it up there. So I think better charting is actually going to happen, but better charting in the prospects of it being part of doing a message, not just throwing numbers on a slide.
Sure.
So for next year, it's not really a prediction, but do you have plans for your company in any way? Website, blogs, LinkedIn, other online destinations? So kind of in that whole online arena, is there anything going to happen for you?
Are you subtly telling me I need to get back to blogging, Troy?
No.
I do. I go in waves. So,
but Nolan, your blogs are so widely read. I think when I
tweet not in the last month or two.
No, I know, but when I tweet a Nolan Hames blog, my goodness.
I got to get back. So that's one of my resolutions to definitely get back to blogging a little bit more. What about you, Sandy?
Well, I've been working on my website for the last year. I had to stop working with my original website designer, and I've hired somebody else. We picked it up about the same time as we started it last year. And so I'm expecting maybe in January to go live with that. I'm going to be incorporating my blog into my site. And of course, I have to get new sample work up there. My portfolio has become very, very dated. Talking about trends, I can't believe how much presentation design, the look, the graphic appeal has changed over the last several years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's good to show variety of what you can
absolutely.
Accomplish. Mm-hmm. We have a few projects like the blog. I tried to be organized this year. And I actually mapped out top monthly topics for the blog post for the entire year. And it somewhat worked out, because we started off really strong and then we get busy. And so, you know, and then it just kind of zipped away. Hey, I want to talk about this because this is really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is stuff I would have never predicted being, you know, topics. So right now, you know, the end of the year, the blog posts kind of devolve into just a whole bunch of generally cool stuff. But so I'd like to try and be organized on that again next year. And we have the entire team help out with blog posts now, which is really fun. So on our website, Sandy, the portfolio and case studies, they have been a backburnered item for a long time. Our portfolio has not been updated. I'm not sure we did more than like one or two updates the entire year this year.
Yeah.
And we've got a backlog of ideas to put in there. So it's just finding time, because if somebody would pay me to do it, it would get done right away.
Of course.
Because those are all the priorities.
and then cobbler's social media, shoes or the cobbler's children.
Exactly. Yeah. I use that analogy all the time. Mm-hmm. It never made sense to me until, well, fairly recently. Social media, I have ambitions of being more organized and consistent with Facebook and LinkedIn specifically. I mean, those are the areas I would focus in. I know, Sandy, you're big with Twitter, and Nolan, you have a presence, and I don't. So I'm not sure I'm going to even focus on that one, but I am going to try and do Facebook and LinkedIn a little more consistent and robust. Hey, let me ask a question on that. Mm-hmm. So, and I would actually, we don't have a mechanism for getting listeners to give input on this, because that's something we should probably look into
yep.
for 2017, because I've had people email me. But here's a question, because this is not an area of expertise for me, because I just don't have time to focus on. For LinkedIn, do you have a personal profile and a company profile? I'm actually trying to figure this out.
I just have a single.
And is it under your name or is it under your company?
It's under my name.
Okay.
So it's a personal name, I guess. I suppose so. Yeah.
It's personal with being the owner of Presentation Whiz. Now, you can have a professional site. I think the Presentation Guild does.
Right.
But I think really LinkedIn is supposed to be your resume.
What about on Facebook? Do you have a personal Facebook and a company Facebook?
I do have a technically a company Facebook, but I don't do anything with it. And
same here.
I think it auto posts. I think my blog posts auto post there, but that's about it.
Okay. I would love to get everybody's opinion on this. So on Facebook, I do have my personal one, and I wanted to separate kind of my personal life from my business life, because a lot of my family stuff don't really care about a lot of details like tutorials and stuff. So we did create and put forth, let me rephrase that. We always had, or for several years, we had a TLC, Creative Services Facebook. We actually spent a little bit of effort, and that's mainly because we have Daytona in the office, who is our project coordinator and our writer. And I basically was able to assign her, like, here's a whole bunch of images. Could you just make sure these get posted a couple of times a month? And
nice. You know,
here's a bunch of stories. And I feed her stuff throughout the months. And so it's been more active. And on it, we did the every time a podcast comes out, it puts a Facebook link. Just say, hey, a new podcast has been released. I don't do one for blog posts, just because we do blog posts every 2 days, and I think that's a little monotonous. I could be wrong. So we do have a separation there between my personal life Facebook, which I don't generally accept a lot of business people or, you know, industry people into. And then we have our TLC one, which is more of just kind of a one-way conversation. So anyways, social media, I guess I'm trying to figure it out.
I think you're onto somebody, having somebody help you out. I do a lot of my own social media, but I have a backup to keep things moving in case I fall off the face of the earth. I do have a young woman who does some tweeting behind the scenes for me.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody. I'm behind my own scenes.
You're behind your own scenes. So looking back at 2016, tell me what was one of the best presentation projects that you can talk about that you worked on.
Well, what can you talk about?
Well, I can talk about the templates that I mentioned. They're kind of extremes. On one hand, I have this large corporation, Ameriprise. I loved building templates for them. They were my very first client in 2001. I started working with them just before 9/11. They are awesome clients.
Wow.
And I'm still working with them. So that's really, really neat. On the other end, I created a self-running presentation video for my godson, who had a Kickstarter campaign that he needed help with. And I helped him get that going. Also, I have to say, I have a favorite client. I wish all my clients could be like him. He happens to be a chief executive at the largest privately held company in the world, or in the U.S. Well, he's Fortune 500, he'd be on that. He'd be
it's
number
really
10.
Big sounding.
It's really big. Yeah, whatever. It's big. And so, I mean, it's great to have a favorite client too.
That's cool. I've done a bunch of projects this year for one of my favorite clients, which is the client actually came, you know, I've had for years and years and years, because he worked at a foundation many years ago when I first met him. And to try to make the story short, but this foundation has a rule that program officers can only stay, I think it's for 7 or 8 years, and then they have to leave the foundation. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And one of them is because they want people going out and making the world a better place through other ways. And this person left, created a brand new nonprofit called Upstream USA, which is dedicated to expanding contraceptive choices around the country. And they started with two people, and now they have grown and grown and grown in the last couple of years. And it's only been a couple of years, and I've sort of, they brought me along as a designer. And it's just a great, good company doing, organization doing really good work. And I just, it's one of those clients I like working for because I know it's a good cause. So
question for you then, Nolan. So in working with this company, do you, they're a nonprofit? Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah.
So there's a nonprofit that's similar that I work for, the Association of Reproductive Health Professionals. Have you run into them at all?
I have not, but I'm sure it's a small world out there
in that
world. So
interesting.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, they just got this huge grant from the state of Delaware. I think they're doing a lot there. And so, you know, I mean, a very small thing is it seems like every few weeks they're emailing me to change their org chart for them just because they keep growing and growing and growing. So that's nice. It's nice to see sort of a client take you with them and then watch this, you know, company organization grow from nothing.
Okay. So what was our question? What was one of the best presentation projects from? Okay. So best presentation. I will say we're lucky to work with, you know, a lot of CEOs and presidents of some very large corporations, and those bring with them a lot of really cool projects just because they're usually, well, they have a budget to be detail oriented and a lot of visual focus. I think the one I would mention is Lori actually handled this project and it was with professional speaker named Jacob Green, Green with an E on the end, very inspirational presenter. And we completely overhauled his presentation because he got invited to do a TED Talk. And I think it was a very rewarding project for us just because his personal message, which is what this whole presentation was really, really cool. So it was just, I think it turned out, I'll throw a link to, he has some videos and this and that, and he's been going gangbusters with, you know, speaking events. But I think that was a really, really fun project because we got to be very personally connected with a presenter, and it wasn't a corporate presentation. It was, I liked it.
So that's great. So what you're saying is your videos are of him delivering the work that you've.
He has a he has a couple of videos online. I'll put his website for just cool presentation design work. I think the one that comes to mind was a particular award show. We do a lot of award shows, but this was a huge multi-screen event. And it was all, we did the awards section completely out of PowerPoint. So we took over the entire convex screen. It was multiple projectors. And not only did we design these amazing background designs just to make it look like a full staged event. So we took their daytime corporate look and we really transformed it. So it's just cool to think in that big of a space.
Wow.
But it was also one of our bigger uses of Morph. It was Morph had very recently been released. And we didn't have the award winners and some of the other information until very late in the design stage, like we were actually there. So instead of doing all this animation, we used Morph and we were moving stuff across, well, it'd be like across the equivalent of 6 1920 by 1080 screens. You know, we put all the logos across this huge environment, you know, some on the left, some on the right, or duplicated. And then we'd say who the winner was and they would all zoom in. We did a very fast transition. So Morph would do it very fast. And they all, you know, they all clustered into the middle and it would reveal, you know, the winner out of them. It was a really, really, so one, it visually was cool just because the scope of it was not your standard design work. And the animation combination of using probably our first really big use of Morph on a huge scale. I think that one stands out as a cool project for this year.
Nice.
Now that we're kind of talked about last year, what does 2017 look like for you as a company?
Hopefully, I always say this, I'll be doing a lot more training. I keep trying to pull back on the project work, but it keeps coming. So maybe in the new year, I'll get a little more disciplined about turning some more of that down. And who knows, maybe I'll get that built-in desk that I've been trying to get installed for 2 years.
The reason Nolan can't get a prefab desk or a pre-built desk is he has no way to get it up to his office space.
Exactly.
I've been there. That stairwell and that little window is not going to – yeah, I want to see how you get things in there. It'll be awesome.
Nolan,
yeah, one of these days. Yep.
You only have to hire someone. You're not planning on building this yourself, are you?
No. Okay. But the problem is I have to make the decisions. That's the issue. And I have to find the right person. That's actually the bigger thing.
Yes, but. Understood.
What about you, Sandy?
Well, for my business, I hope to get the Microsoft Surface or Studio, you know, the big new fancy desktop all in one. I can't wait. I have to order that soon though, because right now
I want to come over and play when you do.
Oh, you can. I just can't wait. And you know, I may pay for it. I'm an early adopter. We'll see if I'm end up being a guinea pig or not, but I really am looking forward to getting that. It's because this year has been so crazy. I'm seriously taking a look at how I'm going to manage 2017. I'm trying to, just from a sanity standpoint, I think I might pull back on the travel, try to do more personal and professional development. We'll see. I already have a couple of large projects in place, so we'll see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. That's hard stuff to balance.
I know.
So for 2017, we, on the business side of things, you know, not the design side, you know, we're growing. We're going to leave the design team probably where it is, at least for the first half of the year, and we're going to work on a couple of behind the scenes people, somebody to take over all the finances,
sure, and
support stuff. And that's a really hard thing because that's not our expertise level, but we've now kind of exceeded the time allocation that Lori and I have. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to ask our design team and the support team we have to take on more. So that's, you know, that's something there, you know, and this is another conversation that came up. I might have had this conversation with one of you, but we were thinking about this because it's the year end. You know, at the end of every project, if you're and this is definitely when you're a one person business, when a project ends, you're technically unemployed. No one is going to pay you because you just got done with that until the next project starts. So the reason we are talking about this is it's kind of a unique year in that TLC has a number of projects on the calendar. I mean, 2017, we're actually having a hard time saying yes to stuff because we have so many great projects in place for our travel show site stuff. We'll always take in more design work for the design mm-hmm. team that's always in the office. But we actually have projects, not one, but several on the calendar for 2018.
And just to be clear, these 2017 projects are the on-site shows that you produce.
Yeah, well, we have a couple of design projects, but the on-site show schedule, because there's only so many people in our
yes.
team that travel around. Yeah, those are we're already booked pretty heavily throughout the year, but we have those now extending into 2018. So we're having this
great
conversation about, hey, you know, when your job is done, you're unemployed until the next one started, but I guess we just have a pretty positive outlook that
yeah.
goes not only through 2017, but it's into 2018 already with some absolutely confirmed projects. So I'm like, hey, we're solid.
I have never thought of it that way, that you're unemployed. I have never thought of it that way. I'm just impetuous. I am impetuous enough to just, I don't know. I've never thought of not having income. So question for you. So to that point then, I mean, you are booked, but what do you have any new business efforts? Do you actively seek, or, you know, how do you stay on top of that?
That's probably a great whole episode because
I think it is
really the whole, you know, like the marketing of a company, of a design firm is uh-huh. something we've been really talking about this year. Our efforts have been just in a little more communication with existing clients and a lot more, work on the social media side, the whole Facebook, LinkedIn activity, just to start it off. We get a fair amount of referrals, like calling up, like, hey, I found you mm-hmm. online. So we've invested some time in SEO type stuff, but not really putting ourselves out there like a formal marketing mm-hmm. thing. And I've heard some awesome things about small, freelance designers and some of the stuff they do. And it's just like, you know, they get really busy from these really creative ideas. I'm like, why don't we do something like that? Mainly because I don't have time to think about it. But
yeah, no, there is some really great stuff going out there in social media with presentation design groups like Buffalo 7 and Ethos 3. They really use social media to leverage their work. I do too, but I don't show my work that often with social media. I mm-hmm. use social media more not to sell myself, but to position myself among a group of experts.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I think that's two different philosophies.
Yeah, I think I get quite a bit of business from being an expert.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about some toys. What was the best new techie item of the year for you? Mine was my huge, gorgeous 65-inch Samsung TV.
Oh my goodness! In our living room. Goodness.
Did you mount it on that wall over the fireplace? Is it?
Yeah, we did, and I'm glad that I took my wife's advice and went with the larger one.
Okay, so here's the story. I visited Nolan's house, and you had like a little picture leaning on your fireplace mantle, but you had all these. Was it like you had something outlining the different sizes?
Right. That's right. We were trying to decide. I had blue tape up.
That's what it was.
Before I buy anything, it's a good 3 month
blue tape.
They were basically, as I was told, he's like, well, we're trying to decide what the optimal size is. And I'm like, I just said, go bigger.
Exactly.
And apparently I sided with Ty, Nolan's wife. And, that's always a good thing
awesome.
To do.
That's awesome. That's great. So
it was a good shot. It's a good call.
You know, from a techie standpoint, this last year I've been really, really quiet. I haven't purchased anything. Usually I get a laptop every year or something. But what I have been in search for is the ultimate smartwatch.
Let me know what you find.
Well, the research I've done, I've truly been waiting for the third generation Moto because from a design standpoint, that looked to be the right proportion to my wrist. Most of these watches look like I'm wearing a TV on my wrist. I mean, seriously, they're so huge. But I just read an article where Motorola might be canceling their whole smartwatch concept.
Interesting.
Yes, it is. So, I've tried the Galaxy Gear. I had the first gen. That was not a wise investment. Recently, I've had my eye in the Pebble, which is both iOS and Android compatible. And what I really like about it is a girl, I think, can wear it. And it has a nice low profile. Of course, it's currently sold out.
The Pebble one's, the Moto one's round, unlike the Apple one that's rectangular. And is the Pebble one, Pebble makes a couple, I think.
You can get both. Familiar. You can get round and rectangular. And I like the round.
My brother's had a Pebble and he likes it a lot.
Oh, good. Okay. That's good to hear. Okay. I want the whole telling time. I want, that's kind of important. But I do like the concept of the health monitoring, the sleep monitoring, that sort of thing. So I'm looking into
I don't
that.
Want the sleep monitoring. It'll just give me bad reports. Like, you didn't sleep enough. I don't need more negativity.
You sleep better.
I've never looked at the Moto one. I just brought it up. It's really cool. And they have a women's specific one, which I'm assuming is a little bit more diminutive and just, elegant.
It is. I like it. It is. But now I've been waiting for over a year for that watch, and I don't think they're going to release it.
Well, I'm a major techie person, and I rely on a lot of great equipment, a lot of software and services to maximize efficiency on our jobs. So I have like hundreds of things I could say. I think, but if we're going for what was the best techie item of the year, it's actually something it's techie, but it's almost commonplace now. But at the very beginning of the year, we went with SSD hard drives. Every spinning hard drive in every computer was replaced. We have a full fleet of show computers. So they're just computers very optimized to do one thing, sit backstage and run a presentation or a video, very optimally, very, very few, like pretty much everything about Microsoft is turned off, all antivirus, except for we're continuing with Windows Defender because it's the lightest weight one out there right now, and it doesn't interfere with presentations. The computers themselves are very software optimized. We took these SSD drives, and they didn't have to be big because they're one-off use computers for our show computers anyways. I mean, they hold file, they hold operating system, they hold some software, and they hold files, and those files are always removed because, we could be working for a pharmaceutical company one day and the next day at an automotive company, and we don't want those files being mixed, or we could be working with competitors. So their computers are always clean. So it's not really big hard drive things. So we invested in a fleet of hard drives. We updated every computer, designer show computer, with these SSD drives. The performance boost over traditional hard drives is amazing. And I think everybody takes it for granted now because if you buy a Surface, if you buy my new laptop I'm running, this MSI gaming series, it comes with two hard drives. Actually, no, I take it back. It came with one of them SSD, the other one not. I switched that out. But what it did is it literally allowed us to squeeze another year of use out of our existing computer fleet. Nice. Which has been great because NVIDIA's just recently released their new graphics card series, which is a huge game changer. And now I'm looking forward to next year. All the computers that we buy, almost all of them now come with SSD drives, but we get this new generation of graphics cards, which you know, you can always get into the perpetual, oh, if I just wait a little longer, the new stuff's coming out. But in this case, we did an upgrade and it's just, I think it's been one of the better investments we made and changes we made because we got a huge performance boost. So that's really great. Exciting and techie. It's literally behind the scenes hidden inside, but it was one of the better things.
That's neat.
Yeah. So what about the presentation podcast for 2017? What are we thinking? What's the future?
Well, I think we've talked about having more guest speakers, right?
Yes.
Experts
yeah,
in our
definitely
different
need to
areas.
Work that out.
Yep. I think, you know, you had mentioned this moments ago, Troy, is figuring out a way where we can get invite our listeners to suggest podcast topics. I guess they could do that on iTunes.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a permanent discussion there. Yeah. I don't know if that's the best venue. And we turned comments off on purpose just because it's a new venue. Well, currently on the podcast webpage, commenting is turned off. It's all WordPress driven. So, and WordPress is mainly a blog platform. Mm-hmm. So commenting is built into it. I just opted to turn it off, but I think we've hit a saturation point with the number of listeners, and I get several emails every episode asking questions or clarification or hey, here's something I've found, and which I totally appreciate. Those are
yes,
more than welcome.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think we'll look into a way to open this up and see if we can let everybody have a little bit more input on the show itself. I think I could say once again, though, for 2017, we would love to see more iTunes ratings just so more people can find us. Mm-hmm. I think that the hardest thing out there is we don't actually advertise. We don't actually make money on this. We're volunteering our time mm-hmm. to talk about something we talk about anyway. So that's a good thing. But, you know, we don't have a really good leverageable way of saying, hey, find us. So,
if you're listening, just do something for free and rate us on iTunes. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah.
But I can say the presentation podcast is set for 2017. I think we've almost come up with enough topics to carry us through at least 2/3 of the year. So we are pre-planning, pre-scheduling everything out. So yeah, it'll continue on. And there's not a lack of conversation topics, that's for sure. Okay, so let's switch from that to Nolan, you already kind of gave yours away, but any Christmas, New Year's fun personal plans?
Yeah, I'll be in Key West and I'll be there. I'll be there.
You'll be there enjoying.
That's fine. That'll be fun. Is that Christmas and New Year's or just
no,
New Year's?
No, just New Year's. Just
which
like
is
five
gonna be
days
awesome.
Around New Year's.
Yeah.
Just 5 days. Yeah, just 5 days.
Just.
I can't tell you how many years because friends of ours, we both had children and we started hanging around each other on New Year's Eve so that our kids could be with us. And well, all of my kids are out of the nest and theirs are still hanging with us. They're still not too cool to hang with us. But I see that changing soon. But that's what we'll be doing. We'll be in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, hanging with our longtime friends.
I don't know where that is.
I had a good friend. It's near Minneapolis. I had a good friend yeah. from college who was from Eden Prairie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Small world.
We're doing every year we like to, I mean, we live in Southern California. It's there is no such thing as, you know, snow or really, really cold weather, which is just the way I like it. But we, every year as a family head out, we've been doing this since my kids were little. I mean, I've been doing pre-kids as well, but we head out and try and do at least a week of snow skiing. And that's our time in the snow. Mm-hmm. This year though, we're actually taking a family vacation. We're heading to Colorado for Christmas at my sister's home with her family, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're heading, driving, we got a rental car, we've got a four-wheel drive, we're heading up to the Rocky Mountains for several days of snow
skiing. So where are you going
there.
To ski?
Nice. We have not nailed that down, and I would love to name the name of the resort, but I can only remember the list, which was Breckenridge, Vail,
Keystone.
Oh my God. Keystone, is that it? I think that's mm-hmm. actually where we ended up getting a condo.
Okay.
And a lot of our decisions being based on where can we get a place to stay.
Sure, it's tough.
Because it's the week, you know, it's the week between Christmas and New Year's, and it's pretty busy up there.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we're going to have some fun family time. And this may be, Sandy, to your point, our last time of having our whole family together because oldest daughter's up in college and, mm-hmm. you know, we're dragging her out of there. She works for a design studio up there. She works for, well, in addition to being a full-time student and doing phenomenal in the design program in San Luis Obispo, She also works for the Chamber of Commerce. She works for a design studio, and she's very responsible and probably would stay up there. But we had to remind her that we pay the tuition and the tuition says come home. So, and then our youngest daughter is in high school, but she's, you know, Thanksgiving, she was gone. She was on a student leadership trip and she was in France and Spain. So we didn't see her for that. And she's she may potentially be going to China, but that will not be over Christmas. So, you know, and then our middle daughter, she'll be in the Navy starting next year. So I don't know where she'll be stationed. And this may literally be the last time we can kind of be the parents and say, hey, we're all going, let's go.
We'll enjoy it.
And after this, it's going to be, hey, can you make it to this? So things are changing.
Yeah.
Okay, last little topic. Let's wrap up with the amount of new features and updates rolled out by Microsoft for PowerPoint this year, which we talk about. That's pretty much our news segment, is just talking about the cool things that are out there. I think there's been more in this year, 2016, than I've seen going back to PowerPoint 97 rolled out in 1 year. Mm-hmm. What is one feature or update you feel stands out for you in 2016?
Hands down, Morph.
Oh,
yeah. Morph transition.
Absolutely. That's okay. Well, I'll cover that. But I use more of the new features. I use that the most.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, because it's caught up. The rest of the world is catching up very quickly. If they're not, I can convert it to video and it works very, very well. I really want to work with the new Zoom tool more. But that's a tougher one because of its limited backward compatibility. So I still continue to create custom shows. When I want to have an interactive navigation on my presentation, I still use custom shows. So I can't wait till I can use Zoom more.
Okay, I would say Morph. Just it's. I think its adoption rate is so good because Keynote had a predecessor to it with Magic Move, and Magic Move is still phenomenal. So the idea was already there, and there's a lot of, I mean, when I started using Morph, we just took design ideas we've been using in Keynote for years, poured them over to Morph, and then we discovered all kinds of new things we can do. So Morph is probably the biggest feature. I would say on a technical side, though, I do have another one, and that is that with PowerPoint 2016, Microsoft changed their video output, because you mentioned video, Sandy, that's what made me think about it, is they actually added what they used to in 2013, I guess it'll only be 2010 and 2013, is where they've had video output. They limited it to 720p, which is not what you want to hand off to video editing people.
Right.
So for 2016, I think the behind the scenes thing is that Microsoft changed the video output to a full 1080p, because we output individual slides, hand them off to video editors all the time, and that just makes their world happy.
Isn't that great? That is just an awesome change.
Well, thank you, everybody. Enjoy the holidays. It's Christmas time. It's ready for New Year's. Start a new things. We have Christmas lights and decorations and holiday parties to attend. By the way, Sandy attended the coolest one already, the whole 50s thing. And we hope everybody has enjoyed the year. We look forward to 2017 and talking more and hearing more and doing more in the design presentation space. Thank you. Okay, we're going to cover some pro tips here, presentation pro tips. So anything we can do in PowerPoint or presentation software that we just think is a cool tip, trick, or hack, or external elements to make it even better. I am going to start off the topic, because I'm going to explain it, and then I'm just going to say go to the PowerPoint blog. So a really, really cool technique is combining static images and videos. And it's so easy to do in PowerPoint now. It's actually easier to do here than it is in After Effects or video editing software. So I have an example on today's post on the PowerPoint blog. We took a mountain range photo. We used the remove background tool to remove the sky because there was blue sky. And I laid behind that a video of clouds, just, you know, time-lapse clouds. And then it's a title slide. So we do this technique all the time where we combine video into the slides, but now we combine them with layering of other elements, and it's just a great design thing you can do so easily in PowerPoint. It's just
neat.
Awesome.
Well, mine is a little bit of a stretch, but because we use icons in PowerPoint, I just wanted to, all of us, I think, use the Noun Project. There's a designer who creates sketchy icons. And I know there are a lot of hand-drawn icon options out there, but I love his slash her sketchy icons. They look great in PowerPoint.
Sandy, just so everybody listening, so they don't have to go show notes, do you know the URL to go find it? Isn't it just thenounproject.com?
Oh, it is. Yes, it's thenounproject.com. I do have the link in the show notes to the sketchy icons. So
sketchy icons. I actually don't know. You mean like hand-drawn?
Like hand-drawn. Hand-drawn.
Oh, okay.
Yes, not sketchy. Like, that's sketchy.
Those questionable. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Those are a little scary, a little sketchy.
Icons of ill repute.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a nice style. If you're getting tired of the usual icons, it's a nice style. Mm-hmm. So mine is continuing the theme of different file formats. This one in PowerPoint is called a .crtx, and it is a chart template format. Now, templating charts and getting defaults is not perfect. However, this can get you far in some ways, and if you use them in the right ways, they actually can save you a ton of time. So the way you create these is you right-click on a chart, and you can save a chart as a chart template. Stop me if I'm wrong on this, because I don't have my computer
That's
up in front of me.
2016, version 2016, yes, you right-click. Mm-hmm.
So you can save a chart template, and this gets saved to your chart template. Now, what it's actually doing is it's creating a CRTX file and dumping it into a certain part of your computer where Microsoft keeps all its templates. So it's creating a physical file in this folder, which you can then go find and move from computer to computer if you need to. But once it's there, if you stay within PowerPoint, now when you go to choose chart or if you go to change the chart type, you will at the bottom have all your different basically templates mm-hmm. or different styles. And at the very bottom, you will have whatever you just created. You will have all these .crtx's available for you to click and apply that template style that you previously saved out to the current selected chart. So if I haven't lost you already, what this allows you to do is, let's say you've created a bar chart and you've styled it with colors and fonts, and you've removed the tick marks and you've done all these things. You got it looking exactly the way you want. Now you have 20 other bar charts that you want to apply that style to. This is a way to do it. Instead of manually going through and changing all those other 20 charts, you can simply select them one at a time and apply that chart style. There are a couple caveats. For example, the y-axis is static, which means if your numbers change, you're going to have to go in and change the y-axis after the fact. And there's some other considerations as well. But it will, and it also saves the style of chart. So you can select a pie chart and say apply this style, and it'll change it to a bar chart. It'll change the colors. It'll change the fonts. It'll do a whole bunch of other things. So if you're looking to format a whole bunch of charts at once, consider doing this.
Nolan, do you have a tutorial for that?
I do not.
I do, but it's old. Oh, it's I think I created it for 2010, 2013. So the steps vary slightly. You can't right click. You have to go into the ribbon to save it as a template. But I used to put the instructions to do that in every single PowerPoint template I built. But I just didn't, people weren't using it.
It's a hard one.
It is.
It is because the limitations, there are too many limitations on it, I think, to put it into a template to make it available to sort of the average user.
Yeah, but it can save you a lot of steps, can't it?
Yes, it can. And this can be just like a one-time thing. Because let's say you do have just a one-off deck and you've got all these charts and you do it once and you want to apply to the other, just make it for that deck. You don't have to use it sort of moving forward.
Well, on those caveats you're talking about or problems, I think it's really, anybody listening, this is really important. It's saving the chart type to your computer. It does not try. Yeah. So if Nolan creates this chart and he sends it to me, I don't have that chart type. So what we have done is we do the same thing. It's mainly our internal use. We'll actually have a slide stylized in our template, and we put instructions off to the side on how, if somebody wants to use that chart style on their computer. We explain you have to add this chart style to your computer. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it didn't come with this. But this chart is already preset. So here's the steps to add it to your chart styles. I also find the little thumbnails are not, you can't name it.
Right.
Which really bugs me because they all kind of look the same. If you have bar charts and you have very subtle differences, you can't tell by looking at the icon and the naming of it. It's just some obscure thing, right? It's the hugest thing. That's an awesome one, Nolan, because few people even know that exists. Right.
I added my tutorial, which by the way is old. It's for PowerPoint 2010. But I think if you're interested, it might give you the right idea.
Yep. For power
Nolan,
users
if,
out there.
If you don't object, I'll add it to our list and try and get a tutorial up sometime.
Oh, good. Please. That's even better.
Please, then I can add to you.
I'm going
to
leverage Sandy's. I'm going to leverage the stuff we do, and I'll just put up a quick, hey, here's a quick one just so you can see it. And I'll probably just throw a sample chart in there so people can see how it works.
How about tech tips?
Oh, mine's easy. LED Christmas lights. Now, I already explained the fact that I don't have to worry about the electricity bill anymore. I mean, I always look at it, but you know, we're under the solar panel thing, so it doesn't really affect us. We've prepaid all that. But the LED lights are so good for Christmas, holiday.
They're pretty awesome.
Because they use so low voltage. I'm doing our whole house we're doing everything on 5 different outlets. Sorry, I had to mentally count that by walking around my house. But you know, the LED lights, you can just chain them together. You know, it used to be like, okay, I've done like 6 here. Now I got to go to a different plug or an extension cord because, you know, the fuses are going to pop or, you know. So LED lights, those are like the coolest technical thing for this time of the year, hands down.
That's great. Mine is, and Troy, I think you're familiar with this, the Shush phone app.
You're on an Android.
Yeah, I'm on an Android. Oh, that's. You're on iPhone.
I still talk about this because iOS does not have this. When I switched to an iPhone, it was, okay, so explain it.
Well, okay, so we all have to turn off our telephones when we're going into meetings, when we start a podcast, and then we forget to turn them on and people can't get a hold of us. The Shush phone app allows you to, when you're starting to turn your phone down, the volume down, your app opens and it allows you to set a timer for how long you want the phone
to be. It's brilliant.
It is. It's awesome. I use it every single day.
Do you have it on right now for the podcast?
I do.
Mine is the Ecobee thermostat. This is a competitor to the Nest, but from all my research, it is far better than the Nest, and we have two of them, and it's just fantastic. It has endless, you know, programmability, and you can tell what's going on when you're not in the house, and it has these cool little sensors. Remote sensors around the house, so it can take the average. It can tell. It knows they have motion sensors on these things, so it knows when you're in a room and when to take that room into account in pumping the heat up or down or AC.
Oh, nice!
So I love it.
I've never heard of it, and that includes little sensors for different parts of the house.
It comes with one sensor, and then you can add more sensors. So So it knows where you are. It follows you. It's pretty fantastic. There's an amazing phone app. It's very intuitive. It's all touchscreen. There's no like spinning the dial around to put things in. And, I've just had
nice.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. We hope everybody a great holiday season. Look forward to the next year and hope you tune in to listen to more podcasts throughout 2017.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. And if you're looking for data visualization or presentation training, give me a holler. And it's a nice closeout to 2017. It's been a good year.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website at presentationwhiz.biz, my blog at pptwizblog, and the Presentation Guild website at presentationguild.org. Or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and you'll learn all kinds of things about me. And thanks to everyone for joining us in 2016. We're looking forward to seeing you in 2017. Thank you.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.